Welcome to the show. I've been telling the American people the truth about the income tax for decades. That truth is Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary hardworking Americans like you. Sadly, there are more than a few people who love the government's big income tax lie and attempt to defend it. Imagine what a reprobate one has to be to defend a government lie that has convinced much of the public they have to give the government a cut of the money they earn to raise their families and have a good life. Over the years, one of the most common claims I've heard is that the income tax has been imposed on ordinary working Americans by Section 1 of the tax code and its associated regulation. Let's have some fun breaking down that nonsensical claim.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. I'm the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the best-selling book in America that provides mountains of incontrovertible proof Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans. Because I know what the law actually says, I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 30 years, tens of thousands of your fellow citizens now keep 100% of what is theirs based on the information you'll find in Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Defenders of the government's income tax lie like to claim that Section 1 of the tax code clearly imposes the income tax on all Americans. What they refer to as Section 1 is more properly known as 26 U.S.C. Section 1. They also assert that Section 1's regulations support their claim. That regulation is found at 26 CFR 1.1-1. We're going to look at Section 1 as well as 1.1-1, and you can decide if they support the government's big lie. Section 1 is entitled Tax Imposed. I suspect, having read just the title, some people believe the title proves the income tax has been imposed on everyone. Thinking people would respond that the words tax imposed doesn't tell us upon who the tax has been imposed or under what circumstances. Section 1 is structured such that subsections A, B, C, and D tell us upon whom the tax has been imposed. So I'll quickly read those four subsections for you. Subsection A, there is hereby imposed on the taxable income of every married individual who makes a single return jointly with his spouse. Subsection B, there is hereby imposed on the taxable income of every head of a household a tax determined in accordance with the following table. Subsection C. There is hereby imposed on the taxable income of every individual or the head of a household who is not a married individual a tax determined in accordance with the following table. And subsection D. There is hereby imposed on the taxable income of every married individual who does not make a single return jointly with his spouse under section 6013 a tax determined in accordance with the following table. I don't know if you noticed, but there is one pivotal term that appears in every one of those statements. That term is taxable income. In other words, the tax hasn't been imposed on plain old income, as ordinary people use that word, such as your personal earnings, but only on a specific type of income that has a narrow meaning. We find the definition of taxable income at section 63 of the code, which reads, the term taxable income means gross income minus the deductions allowed by this chapter. Okay, so taxable income is a subset of something called gross income. What is gross income? We can find the answer to that by going to section 61 of the code entitled Gross Income Defined. Section 61 states, except as otherwise provided in this subtitle, gross income means all income from whatever source is derived, including, but not limited to, the following items: compensation for services, including fees, commissions, fringe benefits, and similar items, gross income derived from business, gains derived from dealing in property, interest, rents, royalties, dividends, blah, 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 blah. Let's take a moment to recap. Point one. Those who try to defend the government's big income tax lie say Section 1 of the code proves the tax has been imposed on everyone. Point 2. Section 1 of the code tells us the tax has been imposed on four types of individuals. Point 3. The imposition of the tax on those four types of individuals is limited to a species of income called taxable income. Point 4. Section 63 informed us the taxable income is a subset of gross income. Point five, the definition of gross income provides a list of activities from which gross income is derived. That might seem like a compelling argument to some folks that the tax has been imposed on everyone. Others might think that sequence is pretty thin from which to make the case that income tax applies to everyone. Such a person may note that there is no indication of whether individual refers to a citizen or an alien. Such a person may also observe that the statute does not address where a citizen or alien is geographically located. Does alien mean an alien inside or outside the United States? Would a citizen be liable for the tax if he was inside or outside the country? Are there specific activities in which a person must be involved to be within the embrace of the statute? We can't know the answers from the skeletal nature of Section 1. To believe Section 1 imposes the income tax on everyone without regard to status, location, or activity, one has to leap to conclusions the language of the statute doesn't support. Phrased another way, the person who claims Section 1 imposes the tax on everyone has to read into the statute things that aren't there. And that is impermissible according to the U.S. Supreme Court. In Gould v. Gould, the Supreme Court held the following. In the interpretation of statutes levying taxes, it is the established rule not to extend their provisions, by implication, beyond the clear import of the language used, or to enlarge their operation so as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. In case of doubt, they are to be construed most strongly against the government and in favor of the citizens. When we apply the court's holding in Gould to the wording of Section 1, we find that Section 1 does not show the income tax has been imposed on everyone. The best we can say about Section 1 is it provides a rough outline that's missing necessary specifics. With that understanding under our belt, let's look at Section 1's associated regulation, which is 1.1-1. The primary function of tax regulations is to provide the details Congress didn't provide in the statutes. Accordingly, in 1.1-1, perhaps we'll find some of the elements that are missing in Section 1. 1.1-1 reads as follows. Section 1 of the Code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States and, to the extent provided by Section 871B and 877B, on the income of non-resident aliens individuals. Aha! Now we find mention of citizens of the United States, U.S. residents, and non-resident aliens. That said, there is still no indication of where those folks must be geographically to have the tax imposed on them or in what activity they have to be involved for the tax to apply to them. In other words, 1.1-1 fills in a few of the blanks, but not all of them. Remember, according to the Supreme Court, a tax cannot be imposed by implication. Exacting language must appear in a statute or regulation if one is to say a tax has been imposed on you. After examining Section 1 and 1.1-1 of the regulations, we don't find the necessary exacting language. At this point, let me ask you a question. Do you wonder why Section 1 or 1.1-1 does not say this? There is hereby imposed a tax on the domestic earnings of U.S. citizens and U.S. residents living and working in any of the 50 Union states. This tax includes, but is not limited to, compensation U.S. citizens and residents receive in exchange for their labor. That language would settle the matter, would it not? Those 45 words address who, where, and the activity subject to the tax. Now, think about this. As I'm sitting here speaking with you today, the income tax has been in force 111 years. Congress has had 111 years to enact a statute removing all ambiguity concerning who, when, and upon what activity the tax has been imposed, but hasn't done so. The Secretary of the Treasury, who writes the tax regulations, has had 111 years to write a regulation clarifying who, when, and upon what activity the tax has been imposed, but has chosen not to do so. Why do you think it is that Congress and the Secretary have left a statute and a regulation in place for 111 years that have significant legal holes in them? The answer to why neither Congress nor the Secretary has written a statute or a regulation using the 45-word version I just shared with you is twofold. Before I share those two reasons with you, please take a moment to subscribe to the channel so you'll be notified when I post new content, and like this presentation so the algorithms will share it with more people. Thank you for taking a moment to do that. The first reason Congress hasn't written such a statute is because Congress doesn't have the constitutional authority to tax your labor, and hasn't done so. You just believe they have because you've never read what the law says. You've just believed whatever the government told you. Reason number one then leads directly to reason number two, which is that because Congress doesn't have the authority to tax your labor, but wants you to believe they do, they've employed deceptive language that doesn't reveal the scam they're pulling while allowing the American people to fill in the blanks with things the law doesn't say. Americans do that because after 60 years of government propaganda, the American people are brainwashed into believing the government's income tax lie. Another way to phrase it is that Congress and the Secretary wrote the statute and regulation in such a way that they know you'll assume things that aren't there, thus impliedly considering yourself a person upon whom the tax has been imposed, despite the Supreme Court in Gould v. Gould saying taxation doesn't work by implication. In short, the government is playing you. You are the master, and the government is the servant, and your servant is playing you. How long are you going to put up with that? Let's return to the statute for a moment. Do you recall I said the tax is imposed on gross income minus deductions and exemptions? What I did not tell you at that point is when you read Chapter 3 of the Code, you discover that gross income is limited to U.S. source income belonging to a non-resident alien or foreign corporation and foreign income earned by U.S. citizens residing outside the U.S. If I were to go into Chapter 3 today, this presentation would be hours long to learn about and understand that Chapter 3 limits the meaning of gross income to U.S. source income belonging to a non-resident alien or foreign corporations and foreign income earned by U.S. citizens residing outside the U.S., read income tax, Shattering the Myths. If you'll be kind enough to give me the benefit of the doubt until you read Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the takeaway from how Section 1 is worded is that the government is intentionally staying away from specifics that would reveal the tax has only been imposed upon non-resident aliens and foreign corporations with U.S. source income and U.S. citizens residing abroad with foreign earned income. Now, let's take another look at 1.1-1. You'll recall that 1.1-1 says, quote, Section 1 of the Code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. If you've been following me for some time, you've almost certainly heard me say Congress has imposed the income tax on just three classes of persons: non-resident aliens with U.S. source income, foreign corporations with U.S. source income, and three, U.S. citizens residing abroad with foreign earned income. But when you heard 1.1-1 say the code imposes an income tax on the income of every citizen or resident of the United States, I bet you assumed it meant Americans living and working in the 50 states earning their own domestic income. Why did you assume that? Because you've been socialized by 60 years of government disinformation to believe the government's false narrative about who owes the income tax. When you consider that you automatically thought those words meant you rather than U.S. citizens residing abroad with foreign earned income, it should be clear how incredibly effective the government's propaganda, its disinformation, has been. Are any other U.S. citizens or U.S. residents required to file and pay? Why, yes. Yes, they are. But again, it's not who or what you think based on the false societal income tax narrative. Let me explain. We just covered the three classes of persons upon whom Congress has imposed the income tax. But there's a fourth class of person who is required to collect the U.S. income tax from its non-resident alien and foreign corporation owners. While the tax has not been imposed upon these Americans, if they engage in certain actions, they make themselves liable to collect and pay over to the government the U.S. income tax owed by the non-resident alien or foreign corporation. These Americans have entered into an agreement to serve as the non-resident alien or foreign corporation's U.S. agent. Depending on the complexity of the financial arrangements, this subject can get complicated. For simplicity today, I'm going to give you a streamlined example. Let's say a Peruvian billionaire sent a U.S. investment firm several million dollars with instructions to invest his money in various U.S. businesses. The investment firm uses some of the money to buy Apple stock. The stocks are held in the name of the investment firm. When Apple pays dividends, it pays them to the investment firm. Apple has no idea the true owner is Peruvian. The investment firm has instructions from the Peruvian government to deposit all U.S.-sourced dividends into his bank account in Peru. That means the investment firm has to send the U.S. source income out of the United States to its foreign owner. At that point, U.S. tax law requires the investment firm to withhold the tax the non-resident alien, the Peruvian gentleman, owes on his U.S. source income. When the investment firm withholds the non-resident alien's U.S. income tax, the investment firm then becomes liable to the United States government for the withheld amount. Because the investment firm is liable for the tax it withheld, it must file a return and pay the non-resident alien's income tax to the IRS. Interestingly, the example I just shared with you is exactly the situation that gave rise to a New York federal court case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1916 called Bruschaber v. Union Pacific Railroad, which is the seminal case on the proper application of the 16th Amendment. In that case, Frank Bruschaber was the U.S. agent for a non-resident alien with U.S. source income from shares he owned in the Union Pacific Railroad. If inclined, you can read the Bruschaber decision by doing an internet search. You can also read the U.S. Treasury Department's interpretation of the Supreme Court's Bruschaber decision in Treasury Decision 2313. Both the Bruschaber case and Treasury Decision 2313 are examined and clearly explained in Income Tax Shattering the Myth. Let's summarize. Some people assert that Section 1 of the tax code and Section 1.1-1 of the regulations prove the income tax has been imposed on ordinary Americans in the states of the Union. Upon investigation, we found that Section 1 is surprisingly vague because it's missing a number of particulars one would need to determine upon whom the tax has been imposed. You learned that the Supreme Court held that taxes can't be imposed by implication, meaning folks just can't fill in Section 1's omissions as they see fit in order to claim the taxes imposed on ordinary Americans living and working in the 50 states. 1.1-1 of the regulations fills in a few of the Section 1 blanks, but still omits particulars that would need to be included to determine upon whom the tax has been imposed. You learn that Congress and the Secretary of the Treasury have not corrected those omissions over the 111-year history of the income tax. You are shown a 45-word sample enactment that would resolve those omissions, yet Congress and the Secretary of the Treasury have chosen not to do so in 111 years. You discovered that when 1.1-1 says it imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States, many Americans leap to the errant conclusion that those words mean the tax has been imposed on Americans living and working in the 50 states. You learned that in reality, Congress has imposed the income tax on U.S. citizens residing abroad with foreign earned income, and that is what 1.1-1 means when it says the tax is imposed on citizens of the United States. You learned that U.S. citizens and domestic corporations can make themselves liable to file and pay over to the government the income tax imposed on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations with U.S. source income if they put themselves in a position where they are required to withhold U.S. income tax owed by the foreign person before sending the balance to its foreign owner outside the United States. How was that for a run-on sentence? Today's presentation was to rebut the false assertion that Sections 1 and 1.1-1 of the regulations impose the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. As you learned today, neither does that. What we covered today is the tip of the iceberg. Income Tax Shattering the Myth lays out the rest of that massive iceberg with crystal clarity every American can understand. Don't you owe it to yourself to discover the truth? While you're on the website, take a look at the other publications. There is the Business Withholding Guide, designed to help you properly communicate the law to your employer, and the W-9-1099 Handbook, designed to help you do the very best job of communicating to a company with which you do business why you are not a person required to furnish them with a Form W-9. Then there's body science. I'm not going to go into it today, but if you want to live in the manner for which your body is genetically coded rather than the illness-creating way we live today, you will be thrilled with body science. Body science has never gotten anything less than a 5-star rating, and readers rave about the fact they look and feel decades younger after putting into action what they learn in body science. The package containing all 4 is deeply discounted. So go to drreality.news, drreality.news, and pick up a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths, Body Science, or the 4-Pack. Any or all of them will be the most fascinating books you will ever read. You have my word on that. Also, by purchasing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, Body Science, or the 4-Pack, you help me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Please share this presentation with others. Thank you for being here. Take care.